and welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Davis Hovey. On this week's recap, hundreds of people on Kodiak Island are looking for help to pay for a basic necessity of life, food.
So they had to look at my income, which was good, but they knew that I needed some, you know, some kind of things that that can be given to people.
More about that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at KodiakHealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center has appointed an interim administrator to temporarily lead the local hospital as it searches for its next permanent administrator. Dr. Nick Loomis will fill that interim role starting on November 10th. According to a press release from Providence, Loomis is currently the medical director of acute care services for the medical center. He's been in that position for about a year and has also led the hospitalist group and delivery of care at the Kodiak Hospital. As of November 10th, Loomis will also be responsible for leading Providence Kodiak Ministries while supporting hospital staff and advancing organizational goals. The healthcare facility says at the same time he will maintain his role as medical director and hospitalist on a part-time basis. In a statement, Loomis said, quote, "I believe the best care comes from teams who feel supported and valued," end quote. He added that he's excited to help strengthen that foundation of the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. For the last 2.5 weeks, the Kodiak Hospital has been operating without a full-time administrator since Lori Riddle left the job last month. Riddle held the administrator position for 5 months before making the personal decision to leave Providence. Providence spokesperson told KMXT via email that the search for a full-time administrator is underway. In other news, the city of Kodiak is once again seeking an interim manager to run the city after the full-time manager left the position last week. As KMXT reports, this is the third time in 18 months Kodiak has lost its top administrator. During Thursday's work session, Deputy City Manager Josie Banky summed up the situation to the City Council.
I wish I could say I'm happy to be here, but I'm really not. Feels a little like deja vu from 18 months ago.
At the end of April last year, then-City Manager Mike Devangi retired from the position, so Banky stepped up to fill in as acting City Manager on a temporary basis. Now, once again, she is acting City Manager after Randy Robertson's last day in the role was Friday. Robertson spent roughly 7 weeks in the City Manager job after emerging as one of the top applicants from a months-long recruitment process conducted by a Florida-based hiring firm. Banky says she would like to continue being just the deputy city manager, a position she has held for 6 years, in addition to stepping in as acting city manager at times. So she urged the council on Thursday to hire an interim manager as soon as possible.
This is an individual who would be brought on contract as a professional manager to handle all council matters and legislation and meetings and also to assist in the recruitment of a new city manager.
The Alaska Municipal League has created a short list of 14 interim city managers currently available within the state that could fill various city and boroughs' needs, such as Kodiak's. City Mayor Terry Haynes says one name from that list stood out to him, and that was Chris Laddick.
We're not hiring a city manager who's going to stay in the position for any length of time, but literally someone whose job it is to help us transition. What we need is a Chris Laddick. This is what he's been doing for years and years and years throughout Alaska.
Laddick lists on his resume that he is currently consulting and mentoring the city manager for the city of Unalaska. He also spent time leading the State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, as well as a regional administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency, and as city manager for several communities across the state. The Kodiak City Council, including the two newly elected members, did not commit to offering Laddick the interim job. Instead, the council is inviting all interested candidates to submit a letter of interest and resume to be considered. The council plans to review all submissions during its work session on November 13th. And for transparency, Haynes is also a staff member at KMXT. He does not have any editorial influence over news stories, and he did not review this story before it was aired. The state of Alaska plans to replace the deteriorating Sergeant Creek and Russian River bridges on the main road near Bell's Flats, south of Kodiak. But the state is just starting to put together a study of the bridges and surrounding area. KMXT was at the state's first public open house for the project this week and has this report. Tuesday evening in the Women's Bay Fire Station, about 30 Kodiak residents milled about, looking over easels with blown-up slides on poster board detailing different aspects of the state's project. The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is investigating flooding around Sergeant Creek and Russian River and is looking at various options to replace the two bridges in that area. According to the department, both bridges have cracks in the concrete girders and are considered in poor condition. So rather than repairing them, the state says that replacing both bridges would be the better option. Several residents that KMXT spoke to were concerned about safety around the Sergeant Creek and Russian River bridges, not just driver safety when the road floods, but also safety for bear viewers who tend to congregate at the two narrow bridges and stop traffic on the road. A spokesperson for DOT said via email that the main public concerns they heard focused on flooding, safety for pedestrians and cyclists, as well as better accommodations for wildlife viewing in the area. The state says the goal of their planning and environmental study is to create replacement bridges that will last for 75 years after they're built, improve flood resilience in the area, and enhance transportation and recreational opportunities. Both Sergeant Creek and the Russian River have seen persistent flooding over the years and have been the focus of a recent hydrology study by the Kodiak Island Borough. DOT's study will incorporate that document as well as community concerns and input from the project's advisory committee. Although the project timeline is not finalized, the department hopes to have the final study done by the end of next year and then select a plan to move forward with into the design and construction phase. Public comments on the draft project documents are being accepted until December 5th. Reporting from the Women's Bay Fire Station, I'm Davis Hovey. The last time the U.S. Arctic Research Commission met in Kodiak, Bill Clinton was president. This week, the independent federal agency held its 121st meeting on the island over the course of 2 days. The commission is tasked with recommending federal research priorities for federal agencies. In Kodiak, the group heard about local bear research, harmful algal bloom research, and other local research programs that all involve collaboration between a combination of state, tribal, and federal entities. John Farrell, the executive director of the commission, says it's imperative that the commission hear from local scientists and researchers about what their priorities are.
And then we take that information back to Washington, D.C. We try to make sure that researchers in all other parts of the federal government, including National Institutes of Health or NASA or NOAA or National Science Foundation, have the benefit of what we've learned.
Once the federal government shutdown ends, then a separate committee, the Interagency Arctic Research Policy Committee, can write an implementation plan for the next 5 years of Arctic research. The federal government is accepting public comments on the development of its new Arctic research plan until November 15th. And just to note that this next story comes from our colleagues at Alaska Public Media in Anchorage. Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport is among 40 airports across the country forced to slash air traffic by 10% starting on Friday, November 7th, as the government shutdown becomes the longest in U.S. history. Alaska Public Media reports Federal Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said Wednesday that traffic would be cut from the country's busiest airports to maintain travel safety. Local travel expert Scott McMurrin says he hasn't seen this much uncertainty for airline passengers since the disruptions that followed the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
When the Secretary of Transportation says he predicts mass chaos, well, then I have to plan for mass chaos. And so that means a lot of flights may get through unscathed. But just because the flight gets through doesn't mean the travelers themselves aren't affected.
Airport officials confirmed by email Thursday that Anchorage International is included among the airports where flights will be reduced, but few additional details were available, including if both passenger and cargo flights will be affected. The Anchorage Airport is one of the busiest cargo airports in the world. The state entity that manages the airport said in a statement it's working to minimize impacts. Seattle-Tacoma International Airport is also on the list of airports forced to make reductions, and it's where many flights to and from Alaska connect through. Alaska Airlines said that it canceled a limited number of flights in response to the FAA directive, but international flights are not expected to be impacted. Passengers with questions about specific flights should contact their airline. And our final story for this week. This month, hundreds of people on Kodiak Island are looking for help to pay for a basic necessity of life, food. As KMXT reports, various local organizations are stepping in to help. Around 11 a.m. Friday morning, the Leagwick suite inside the Kodiak Marketplace was overflowing. An older man with a Pacific seafood beanie, a mother holding her young daughter in her arms, teenagers and kids standing with their elder family members, all waiting in line to fill out applications to get financial assistance from the Kodiak Area Native Association, or CANA. Longtime resident Erlinda Bunsey was one of the first in line when CANA staff opened the office doors on Friday. The 79-year-old retiree needs a little extra help paying for food right now.
Now, I live by myself because I'm a widow, so they had to look at my income, which was good, but they knew that I needed some, you know, some kind of things that can be given to people.
Bunsey worked at the local Safeway for nearly 30 years and now gets around with a cane after having both of her knees replaced. So once she filled out her application and waited in line, she was given a check for $250 to spend at one of the local grocery stores. This new temporary assistance was open to all community members who are facing uncertainty about their Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits, or have been furloughed and are missing paychecks, like Coast Guard-based Kodiak families. If the federal shutdown continues, base workers won't be paid after November 15th, according to the U.S. Treasury Secretary. The State Division of Public Assistance estimates roughly 1,000 people living in the Kodiak Island borough receive SNAP benefits, which are for lower-income households. Many more are eligible. A spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Health, which oversees the Division of Public Assistance, said in an email that 364 households in the Kodiak census area receive an average of $445 a month per household. Although the number of people in each household varies, as of November 4th, none of them have received their SNAP benefits yet for the month. As a result, Kodiak organizations like CANA and the Food Bank have been offering extra assistance where they can. Deanne Medina, the coordinator of the Salvation Army Food Bank in Kodiak, says this is going to be a tough time for the community.
Yeah, I know that not only those who are on SNAP program are going to be without the assistance that they need, but we also have the Coast Guard that's being impacted with this issue. Salvation Army is doing their very best to rise to the occasion.
Medina says community members and a variety of organizations in town have been giving more food donations to the food bank within the last couple weeks to help meet the growing need. On top of SNAP benefits being interrupted, the Women, Infants, and Children Food Program, or WIC, is in jeopardy of running dry in some states as early as November 8th, according to reporting from the Associated Press. So far this month, the Alaska WIC program says it remains fully operational, but it will provide additional updates if anything changes that affects WIC services in the state. Ian Zacher is a farmer in Kodiak. He and his wife run the Farma Bear Dawn Farm in Kodiak, the only local farm that accepts SNAP. For the first time this year, it also accepts WIC. His family has annually donated produce to the local women's shelter, and he says they keep some extra vegetables on hand this time of year to help feed local families.
We always anticipate at the end of the year for the holidays people that need fresh veg, and so we always try to grow a wee bit more than what we sell for that need. And so this year is no different, even though the cold snap came early.
There are also weekly boxes of produce available for families in need at the Kodiak Food Bank, along with the usual shelf-stable dry goods and other items like milk. Medina, with the food bank, says the only requirement to receive food at the Salvation Army is to show identification and tell her a rough estimate of your income.
We don't have a cap on what you make. If you make $6,000 a month, so be it. We don't know what your bills are. Your mortgage could be $3,000 or $4,000. We just want to help people.
CANA received dozens of applications during the 2 days that the nonprofit and tribal health organization was offering food security assistance last week. According to CANA's community services staff, they are no longer offering that specific food security assistance via gift cards, but their other community services are still available. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
And with the holiday season approaching, there are at least 10 art markets and bazaars coming up showcasing locally made goods. KMXT's Brian Venois compiled this list of events.
The AAUW Holiday Bazaar is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 8th at Kodiak High School. Special Finds' kickoff to Christmas is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, November 15th at the Heritage Center at the Mission. Berrytown Market is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 29th at the Kodiak Marketplace. The Chiniac Public Library's Fall Market is from noon to 4 p.m. on Sunday, November 30th. The Aleutic Museum's Holiday Bazaar from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is on Saturday, December 6th. The Rooted Winter Market's from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 6th as well. The Winter Solstice Bazaar is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 13th at the Kodiak Marketplace. There's a mini quilt show and bake sale from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, December 13th at St. James the Fisherman Church. And there's one more Berrytown Market from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 20th at the Kodiak Marketplace. Again, that's downtown. All these events are available on our post online, and KMXT staff will update the list as listeners and readers share events with us.
And to all our military and armed forces veterans, we thank you for your service. On Tuesday, November 11th, have a wonderful Veterans Day. Thanks for tuning in to KMXT. If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe to us on Spotify. Our staff put together KMXT stories every week to help you keep up to date on the archipelago's latest news. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm Davis Hovey. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in.